Take your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this morning, and we're going to be looking at an event in the life of David. You know, I think there are times that we all can agree that we just need some encouragement, that maybe we're faced with a desperate situation, or maybe we're just becoming a little loaded down with the affairs of life, and there are things that happen, things that that maybe the daily things, and maybe there's some burdens at work, there's some burdens at home, and there's some burdens in your life. And also the devil can really come and oppress a Christian and begin to put some pressure and some negative thinking and some negative thoughts into their life. And there are some times that we just need some encouragement, and we need to get that encouragement from the Lord. And here this morning, we're going to look at an example at David, that David needed some encouragement, and that he was in a desperate situation. He was in a situation that I don't think anybody in here has faced or will ever face. And how did he encourage himself? And how did he overcome and gain the victory? And this morning, I pray this message is an encouragement to us, because there are times when we need to have that victory and we need to have that encouragement. But how do we gain that? In a message entitled, No One to Turn To. If we could stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1 and go down through verse number 8 this morning. And if you could follow along as I read aloud this morning. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any great, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dearly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And I pray that this morning we would be encouraged. Maybe we are facing a discouraging time in our life. Or maybe we're facing an area that we never thought we'd have to face. Maybe it's a physical problem, or it's a problem in the family. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged and uplifted, for Lord, you are our God and our Savior. And I pray that you will bless our time together. Give me the words to say this morning, and help me to be clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. No one to turn to. Have you ever faced a situation where it seemed that there was no one that you could turn to? This is what David was facing. David was the leader, was a general. This was before, right before the time he was to be king. He was anointed king of Israel, but King Saul was still the king of Israel at this time. Actually, in chapter number 31, we see that that Saul is killed in battle with the Philistines, and that David becomes king. But right before that, we see there's a discouraging thing that happens. Now, to give a little background at this time, David is a fugitive. He is being pursued by Saul consistently all the way through this section of 1 Samuel, that Saul over and over and over again is seeking after David and wishing to destroy him because of his jealousy. David had done nothing against Saul. David had only been a faithful general and a faithful person in his court that played the harp so that the nerves of Saul would be soothed. But because of rebellion and because of sin, Saul had hardened his heart against God, and God had rejected him for being king because of his disobedience. And we see that over and over again, David is delivered by the Lord, and that we see that David is had gained some mighty men, people that had been disillusioned or were outcast, his mighty men that he had gathered around him. And so now they had settled in Ziklag. Now, I don't have time to go into this right now, but Ziklag was in the land of the Philistines, was in the area of Gath, which, if you remember, that's where Goliath was from. And so because David was tired of Saul pursuing him and his family, and he kept having to move his family and also the families of his mighty men, they were tired of being pursued by Saul. So David said, well, you know what? If I want Saul to not follow me, I'll just go into the Philistines and I'll go live there, and I'll go to Achish and I'll ask him to give me a safe place to stay. And so Achish gave him, the king of Gath gave David Ziklag to live in. So now they were living in the land of the Philistines. Now later on, when David would drive out the Philistines out of the land of Israel, Ziklag would become part of Israel, but at this time is in the land of the Philistia. So now is what had happened is in the previous chapter, David had gone on a campaign against the Amalekites and Jezreelites and others that had been oppressing Israel. And so now, in retaliation, the Amalekites had come back and had taken every single thing from David and his men, had taken their wives, had taken their children, had taken all their possessions, and had taken them and carried them away as spoils of war. So in this situation, we see that in verse number 6, that David encouraged himself. Look at verse number 6 of chapter 30, near the end. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This is a very simple phrase, a very important phrase, because there's going to be times in your life that you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're not going to have anyone to turn to. David didn't have anybody to turn to at this point. All of his men wanted to stone him. Though he had been their faithful leader, been their faithful general, they wanted to stone him. And so we see, how did he encourage himself? Well, first we got to look at some things about David's life. First this morning, we're going to see a tumultuous past. All through David's life that we have recorded in the scriptures, we see the hand of God. David was no stranger to hardship or controversy. Since his days as a young man, he was faced with obstacle after obstacle, being overcome the lion and the bear miraculously by the hand of God in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35. And then a little later on in the chapter, we see that he defeated Goliath by the power of God. He didn't claim any power of his own. We know that David was a teenager at this time because according to the law, that anyone 20 years of age and older was required to go to war. So David was not allowed to go to war because he wasn't old enough. So we know that he was a young man, a teenager. We don't know exactly how old, but we do know that he was a young man. And he went down to bring some supplies to his brothers. Now, David was known to Saul at this time because Saul had brought David to play a harp in his court before this. But he had gone home. He had been sent home to go and attend his father's sheep. And they were at war with the Philistines. Now, he had come down, and we know the story of the account of David and Goliath, that David saw Goliath cursing God, cursing Israel, and the men of Israel were doing nothing about it. Saul was doing nothing about it. But everybody else, they were running and hiding in their tents, and Goliath came out every day to curse God and to challenge one man from Israel to fight him. And the deal went like this, that if the Philistines killed the champion for Israel, then the Israelites would be their slaves and the Philistines would occupy them. Or if the Israelites were to defeat the Philistine champion, that the Philistines would be the servants of Israel. And so now, but no one was willing to go up against 9.5-foot-tall Goliath. No one was willing to go up against this giant of a man, and that he was a warrior, more than likely had a wonderful reputation of killing many people that tried up to go up against him. But David, with the power of God, defeated Goliath. Then we see that he escaped from jealous Saul no less than 8 times from the time of that killing of Goliath till chapter 30. He escaped from Saul 8 different times. Then defeated the Philistines and other enemies of Israel on multiple occasions. In total, from the time of Genesis or 1 Samuel 17, from that time all the way to chapter number 30, we have recorded in Scripture 16 different deliverances of God, of David and his men, that God had given them the victory and had given them the power to overcome their enemies. Each one of these victories was credited to God. David was always quick to credit God with the victory. The victories of the past, and this is what I want us to learn this morning. What did David encourage himself with? You know what? I think he thought about some things. He thought of the victories of the past that helped encourage him. He looked at the past, all that God had brought him through. And there were times that David was discouraged, that David was down, that David was surrounded around. Have you ever looked, and we're going to look at some of those Psalms here in a little bit, but we see that there was a time of David just expressing his heart, how he felt, what was going on, the burdens, all of it. But then the Lord is always, that phrase many times often, then the Lord showed me this, and the Lord taught me this, and we're going to look at some of those in just a minute. But the victories of the past can help encourage us. Here's one, that one thing that encourages us, that God has brought us this far. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, that God has brought us this far. Don't quit. Wouldn't it have been great for David to quit right before he was made king of Israel? Oh, that's what the devil wanted. The devil wanted David to quit right there, and that he was never going to be king, and that it's never going to work. All serving God has brought you is a bunch of discouragement and a bunch of heartache. Now look at what's going on. Your family's gone. Your children are gone. Everything that you ever loved or cared about is gone. Look at what serving God did for you. That's what the devil loves to whisper in our ear. Philippians chapter 1 in verse number 6. You know what? We need to encourage ourselves. When we get discouraged, the devil begins to whisper in our ear. We need to remember that God has brought us this far and he will not fail. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's brought you this far. He's done a good work in your life. Guess what? He's not going to stop now. You're the only one that can stop yourself. You just need to keep going. Encourage yourself in that. Also, that God has been faithful. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. That God's brought you this far, but also God has been faithful to you. No one can honestly say and look back at their Christian life and ever say God has never been faithful to them. No Christian can honestly say that. I know some people say it. Well, God let me down or this happening. God just didn't treat me right or do me right. Guess what? If you look at the Scriptures, God always does right. And God never fails. And only we are the ones that fail when it comes to our relationship with God and the promises of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will shall establish you and keep you from evil. This is the faithfulness of God. He's faithful. Also, that God has not forgotten you. That he's brought us this far, that he has been faithful, and he's not forgotten about you. Look at Luke chapter 12. Jesus was reminding his disciples of this, was reminding those he was teaching that he had not forgotten about them. You know, there are times the devil wants to think that God has forgotten about us because things start going wrong. Things start happening. We become discouraged. God's forgotten about us. He has somehow gotten so busy in running the universe, he has forgotten about our need. And you know what? God gives us a wonderful and precious truth here in Luke chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7, that he knows your need. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Every single, so he's talking about sparrows in the temple. There was an offering you could give for those that were poor of turtle doves and or of a offering here. And God is saying, I know every single sparrow. I know exactly where each one is. Think about that. Now, if you've ever seen sparrows, sparrows can be very numerous. If you see them in trees, I mean, probably by the millions, countless millions, if not billions of sparrows in the world right now. God knows where each and every one of them is. He knows exactly where they are, what they are doing, when they are going to die, and when another one is going to be born. He knows all of that. All the time. He hasn't forgotten about you, because this is what he says in verse number 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Every hair is numbered. Think about that. You know how much hair you have in your head right now? I know some of us have less hair this morning than we had yesterday, but, you know, it's still, he knows every single hair that is on your head. Not only on your head, he knows every hair on your entire body. How many hairs you have? Trust me, he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows what's going on in your life. Let that encourage you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about the sparrows, and he's definitely not going to forget about you. At that moment, David was faced with quitting. At that moment, he was faced with just throwing in the towel. I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. But he was encouraged by what God had already done in his life. You know, we need to look at the past sometimes. I was a missionary wife when I was on, many years ago, I was on a mission trip to Australia. Pat, the missionary wife there, shared something with us before we left. And we went down to the Murray River and sat by the Murray River, and she said, I want to share something with you all. Is that being a missionary here in Australia was a very difficult thing for me, and I became very discouraged at one time and depressed, because the results of the spiritual progress in with Australians is very slow. They had been there about 5 years at that point, only had about 10 people. And they were there about, by the time we visited them, they had been there about 11 years. They only had 18 to 20 people. Very slow growing, very hard field, a very hard field to see a church grow. But they had seen it happen, and they were just discouraged. And at that time, there was something had happened. They only had two or three people. And she just became so discouraged, and it seemed like nothing was happening and that God wasn't doing anything. And then she took the recommendation of someone that told her many years before, whenever you get discouraged, is that you sit down with a piece of paper and you write number from 1 to 100 and you list out the blessings of God from 1 to 100. And you sit there until you get to 100. And you know what? She goes, when I started out, I wasn't very thankful for anything. I have nothing to be thankful for. I have nothing to remember. I have no victories, no blessings, no victories to claim. And then as she began to pray about it, the Lord brought to remembrance thing after thing after thing after thing after thing of what God had done. Little things, but still God had done it. Big things, and God had done it. And she goes, I recommend if ever you get discouraged that you sit down, number 1 to 100, and sit down and you write down all the blessings in your life and all that God has done for you, and by the time you get to 100, you're not going to be discouraged anymore. Because the devil likes to deceive us into thinking God's not doing anything in your life. He is. He is, if we're willing to see it. So we see that, let's go back to David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. So now we see David is in a desperate situation. He had a tumultuous past, but he saw the victories of the past. And they were big victories too. Defeating Goliath. And that he knew his God was greater than any giant. And that's a great truth for any Christian. You know that God is bigger than any giant you face in this life? He is bigger than your financial problems. He is bigger than depression. He is bigger than anger. He is bigger than any temptation. He is bigger than any sin. He is able to give you the victory. That's why Paul said we're more than overcomers. Amen. We're more. We have the victory of Christ. He is bigger than all of these things. And David knew that. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. By the way, it appears here that David did not have a whole lot of time to encourage himself in the Lord, because he did not know what to do. It doesn't say that he went off somewhere by himself. He might have. We don't know exactly. But it seems that this was a quick succession of events. By the way, you know why we tend not to think that? If they're gathering, people are gathering around to stone you, they're not going to give you a timeout to go over in the corner and work yourself up, okay, and get all excited and to do all of this. So he had to do this. He encouraged himself in the Lord. It seemed that everything was against him. And that's what brings us number two. First, he had a tumultuous past. Second, he had a tenuous present. He didn't know if he was going to live much longer. You know, they were angry, they were upset, and they were giving in to discouragement. David is perhaps facing the most desperate situation he has faced yet. Now, we need to remember something about David, that he's a general and a man after God's own heart. He had been in danger before. He had faced death many times over. He did not care for his life more than he did for those that he was responsible for. The situation that befell Ziklag was the worst possible situation that could happen to a man like David. Because David cared about others. He cared about his family, and the families of all of his men were in jeopardy. I'm sure words could not express what David was feeling when they rode into Ziklag to see his family, all of that gone, to see also his men's families gone, everything completely destroyed. In verse number 4, it says, they wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept and they wept. They were just completely overwhelmed and overcome. They were just completely devastated at what was going on. Then, as many times happens, those tears turned to anger and rage in the hearts of his men. They needed someone to blame. Whose fault is this? David, this is your fault. You're the one that brought us to Ziklag. You're the one that told us we would be safe. You're the one that led us here. So it's all your fault. They were blaming the only person that was available. David, the one who had led them from victory to victory, the man who had protected and cared for them, now was the one that they wanted. They just wanted someone to blame. You know what? They should have been angry at. They should have been mad at the Amalekites that came and took them. But no, they wanted to get mad at David. This is all your fault, David. We had to go out on this campaign, and now they're taking revenge on us. See, it's all your fault. And that's what, if you're a leader, by the way, that's going to happen to you. You know what? When things go right, you don't get thanked. When things go wrong, you get blamed. Amen. That's just the way it goes, right? And that's what with parents, with kids. You know, the kids don't thank you when things are going right, but when things are going wrong and they get rebellious. Oh, it's all my mom and dad's fault. This might have crushed and ruined other men, but it had an effect on David. The Bible says that he was greatly distressed. He was distressed. He was distressed with his own personal situation, but also he was distressed that his people were bitter at him and angry with him. And he was overwhelmed because he felt the responsibility of these men's families. He was overwhelmed. And you know what? At that moment, there was no human person he could turn to. Jonathan, his best friend, wasn't there. He couldn't turn to Jonathan to help him and say, Jonathan, what do I do? And Jonathan wasn't there to give him a pep talk. Jonathan wasn't there to say, David, just trust the Lord, it's going to be okay. He had no one to turn to except the Lord. He had no one to turn to. And I said, well, what about Samuel? Samuel had died at this time. Samuel was dead. He had passed away. And actually, when David was on the run, David lived with Samuel for a time. And we see that Samuel was gone. His father was not there. All that David had was his heavenly father. And you know what? That's all that David needed. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know, instead of saying, well, I'm sorry, guys. I'm done. It's over with. I don't know what else to do. And I just quit. Just kill me now. You're right. It's all my fault. And just kill me now. It's just easier for me. Now, that's the easy way out. Just to quit, that's right, I quit, I'm over, I'm done. You know, just find someone else to be your leader. I must not be a very good one. I just quit, I'm done. Is that what he did? No, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He remembered the past victories. He had that, he so knew the present situation, and you know where he turned? He encouraged himself in the Lord, and what's his next action? David said unto Abiathar, the priest, to Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. So we're going to ask God what to do. He has been faithful to me. He has guided me all these years. I'm not going to quit on him now, and he will show us what we need to do. In that moment of overwhelming circumstances, he had an overwhelming personal circumstance because his family had been taken captive. Now, they didn't know if they were alive or dead. They just knew that Ziklag was burned. We have to understand, we know in the Word of God that their family was alive, but he didn't know that. He didn't know that his family was still alive because the place was all they knew. They came in and they saw it burned with fire. Number two, he also had a leadership circumstance, that he was the leader of these men and that he was to be the future king and that these men were angry with him and they were just ready to kill him. That's a big circumstance. I don't think anybody's going to face that. You know, maybe if you're in the military, you're in your job, maybe someone's going to be mad at you, but they're not going to say, hey, we're going to take you out, we're going to stone you because of what you've done. Then also he had a physical circumstance. He was in danger. It was a war. He trusted in the Lord, but not only that, he had lost all of his possessions, everything that he had. But he trusted in the Lord and called upon the Lord. And we're going to look at some Psalms here for a few minutes. This was the testimony of David's life. Now, these particular Psalms, we don't know if they were written at that particular time, but they communicate David's heart, what his heart was. Look at Psalm 56. We're going to look at a few Psalms here. Psalm 56, in verses 3 and 4. And these are very instructive for us because of who David was, and this shows us a window into what David thought and what his relationship with God was. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Because of the voices of the enemy, that's 55, sorry. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Oh, he was afraid. I'm sure he feared for his life, but also he was afraid of what's going on with his family. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. He wasn't afraid of what his men were about to do to him. He was just trusting the Lord. The Lord's going to show that he was a leader still. He said, I don't want to be a leader anymore. That's the time that leaders don't really want to be leaders anymore. And those things happen. Don't want to. This is where leadership has brought me. I don't want to continue on. But he still needed to lead his men to the victory. And he trusted God to bring that. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now let's look down at verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what men can do unto me. Well, it's repeated again. I'm not going to fear that. I'm not going to be afraid. In verse 10, in God will I praise his word. The Lord will I praise his word. His promises. His word. His faithfulness. We see that he was trusting God. Look at Psalm 25. This is another testimony of David. Psalm 25 and verse number 17. And there's many, many more in the Psalms. These are just a few examples. Psalm 25, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. That was his testimony. Lord, I trust you. You're the one that can do it. I can't do anything about this. We can't do anything about this. Lord, you're going to have to show us what to do. Look at Psalm 27, just over two Psalms here, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. This is the confidence of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Can you claim this testimony this morning? Can this be your testimony that you're trusting God in the midst of hard circumstances? This can encourage you. Write these verses down. Memorize them. These are verses of power and of truth that God can use in your life. So what happened? What happened? Well, we see first a tumultuous past, second a tenuous present, and three we see a triumphant future. So let's continue reading where we left off in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we know that God said to go. Now this is the promise of God. Let's read verse number 8 again. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. This was the promise of God. You're going to recover all. All of your family, all of your possessions, everything that you have lost, you're going to recover it all. It was of the miracle of God. Now, let's continue on. Verse number 9. So David went, and he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he 400 men for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread and nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days had gone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, there were spread abroad upon all the earth eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, now the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and were escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was, now listen here, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David, now this is the statement, just as God promised, David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and this is, and said, This is David's spoil. So not only through this trial that he had lost, he had recovered everything that had been taken away, but now he had recovered, he had been added, had given something added to, he had taken what the Amalekites had taken and had brought it back. Now, it's interesting as we read on, I'll just do a side note on this, is that those that 400 men that were with him, they said they were sons of Belial, that they did not want to share with the 200 men that were left back at the brook that were too tired to continue, and that they weren't going to share the spoil. Now, you have to remember something. The spoil of the cattle and stuff, where did they get that from, the Amalekites? They got it from Judah and from Philistines. And so David made a statute that whenever there's a spoil of war, it was shared evenly with everybody, whether they fought in the battle or not, to make it fair. Because God's covenant was not just with them, but with everyone, with all of Israel. So we see the triumphant future. God wrought several victories this day. First, that there was no loss of life of David's men that is recorded. No loss of life. That there was no loss of life of David's family or his men's families. I mean, there could have been, they could have executed a servant or executed his children or his wives. Didn't hurt anyone. There was no loss of possessions. There was no injury to any person who was taken captive. And they actually came away with more than when they were taken captive. This is a testimony of the faithfulness and provision of God. When David was tempted to quit, it seemed like there was no hope. David turned to God, and God made something that looked as if it was a tragedy into a wonderful victory. And God can do that also with your circumstances. We serve the same wonderful God, and he wants to do the same miracles that he performed in David's life. The question is, will you let him? Will you trust him to do that? Will you trust him? Will you encourage yourself in him when it seems like the day is dark and when we're beginning the day and things are discouraging and things are just completely overwhelming? Are we just going to encourage ourselves, and Lord, you've done this for me. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, and you provided for me. You've given me a wonderful family. We can go on and on and on. You've given me victory here and victory here and victory here. You know what? We have no right as a Christian person to be discouraged. We have no right to be depressed. We have no right to be discouraged. We have no right to be defeated. I'm not saying there's not burdens. There are. I'm not saying there's not trials. There are. But God can give the victory. What are you willing to let him do in life today? When it seems there's no one to turn to, remember, there's always someone to turn to. There's always God to turn to. And that's all we need. Amen. If we look all through the scripture, we see with Moses, that's all Moses needed was the Lord. We see that's all Elijah needed was the Lord. All Elisha needed was the Lord. when he had trouble and trials, when he had all of these things going on. We serve the same wonderful God, and he does the same miracles that he performed for David. He hasn't changed any. He hasn't changed. He said, I change not. What's changed is our faith. What's changed is our trust. What changed is what we turn to instead of God. Are we turning to him? Are we turning to other things? Are we turning to our own philosophies? Are we turning to people? Nothing wrong with having a good godly person encourage you, but guess what? There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time that there's going to be no one to turn to but God. You know what that tells us? That David had a habit of turning to God in desperate situations. You see that from when he was a shepherd. He was just watching sheep in that he was able to kill a lion and a bear by the power of God because he took his responsibility so seriously of watching his father's sheep that he wasn't going to let him. You know, today we think, I'll let him take a sheep or two. I'm not going to die going against a lion or a bear. They could just kill a couple of sheep. I don't care. I'm not going to do that. That wasn't David's mentality. He was willing to die for those sheep. David is actually a picture of Christ and that he laid down his life for the sheep. That's what Jesus did. David was willing to lay down his life for his sheep, and God gave him the victory to overcome those wild animals. Also, he turned to God in a desperate situation. Trust me, David knew full well that he could not defeat Goliath. He knew that. He knew he couldn't defeat him. He was just a young man. He knew if Saul couldn't handle it, he definitely couldn't. Remember, Saul was tall, one of the tallest men in Israel. Said he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was kingly. He was strong. He was a warrior in battle. If anybody that should have been out there going against Goliath, it should have been Saul. But he wasn't nowhere to be found. David knew he couldn't defeat Goliath. But he knew his God could. He knew God wasn't going to stand around and let this man blaspheme his name. He said, and he was just willing. We looked at being willing this morning in Sunday school. David was just willing. He said, Lord, I'll go do it. And if I die trying, it's okay. But he, you know what? He had some confidence that God is going to honor his word and he is going to allow me to defeat you. Goliath, it's not going to be me. It's God who's going to deliver you into my hand. It's not going to be me. So David, and all the way through, you look at the Psalms, he always turned to God over and over and over and over and over again. David had a rough life. He really did, up until that point. Even afterwards, he had a lot of trials. David, if you look at David's life, that man had so many tragedies and problems and things happen in his life. Guess what? He was still faithful to the very end because he turned over and over again. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he kept turning to God. Where are you turning to? Are you turning to everything else except God? Are you turning to everything else except his word? If you turn to him and turn to his word, he will give you the victory. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not be downcast. Let's be encouraged in the Lord.